do it with a drunken sailor, Mike. What you gonna do?
I wish people could see this. This is fabulous. Fabulous. Number one, she looks great. I mean, all dressed up in green and beads and gold beads and green coat and all that, and dancing to this great St. Patrick's Day music.
This is the drunken sailor.
Man, this is your day.
This is the drunken sailor, y'all, from the Irish Rowers. Yes, I'm a little bit Irish in me. Good morning to Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel here on News Radio 92.3. Good morning to you. Top of the morning to you, Michael, at the Garden Line.
Top of the morning to you. I can't do that. I wish I could. I have trouble talking English.
Well, you're a little bit Southern, my friend.
I'm afraid so.
I promise I won't do it the whole show, but, you know, I do have an Irish heritage for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Good
so.
For you. Good for you. You and I were talking. You have got some great St. Patrick's Day stories.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yes.
I think you're going to share them maybe later in the day.
I think at 10 o'clock I'm going to do
it.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about the Irish, where this all comes from. Because the first thing Mike said, well, who's St. Patrick? I almost fell on the floor. You don't know who St. Patrick is.
Well, I just didn't know exactly what St. Patrick did.
Right.
You know, to be so famous. And you told me that's a very interesting story.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
We won't get into all that now. Well, I mean, he drove the snakes out of Ireland, first of all.
Exactly.
So that was the first thing.
That's what I remember. Exactly.
That was the first thing he did. But the truth is that he came to Ireland. He was a slave. And he was enslaved. This is back way early on, 1400 something. He was a slave. And then when he was released, he escaped to Ireland. And when he got to Ireland, he converted, because Ireland was a pagan country. Didn't believe in anything other than the earth and nature. Yeah. And he converted the island to Christianity. And so that was why he became a saint. And he's the one that originated. Everybody says, well, what's the shamrock? Well, if you look at a shamrock and it has three leaves, he used the shamrock to explain the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And so that became the thing, the Irish that became converted to Christianity, then converted with using the shamrock. And that's how they spread the Christian word, I guess, all over the country. And they've adopted that as the big symbol. And then St. Patrick's Day is actually March 17th, which is the day he died. That was the day of his death. So they commemorate that every year. And then it just blew up into a big celebration. It was it's still a Christian holiday. But then, of course, when the immigrants came here and all over the world, the Irish immigrants started celebrating and, well, you know, the usual way. Parades and beer.
I got that part, right.
That you know about, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so they had the first St. Patrick's Day in Boston, I believe, in the 1727 or something. Yeah. And then right after, in 1762, they had the first St. Patrick's Day parade in New York City.
Have you ever gone?
I lived there 15 years.
You live there. What am I?
Sacrilegious for me not to go.
Absolutely.
And I got to organize the St. Patty's Day on the beach while I was at the chamber.
Did you really?
Yes, which is hilarious. You know, destiny, I guess.
You know, you are. I was going to say. You are a Renaissance woman. I'll tell you right now. That is some great stuff. That's a great lesson. Being the Garden Line, I wonder if we can grow some shamrocks.
Absolutely, you can grow
Pensacola.
Them. Sure.
Kind of like, I guess, a little house plant. Little
potted plants,
potted plant, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder where one could get one. I wonder if you may have to get it online. But
I don't know. Maybe one of our listeners in our research department might have the answer to that. 850-437-1620. Yeah. If you have an idea about where you can get shamrocks
I don't know
and
if
grow them.
I mean, I find the research department. They're out celebrating.
This is true. The festivities have already started on the beach. I know that.
Oh, yeah. The research department's right in the middle of that.
Yeah.
But, no, if anybody does know or if anybody has ever grown a shamrock, let us know.
We've got a couple listeners have commented.
Already.
So St. Patrick drove all the snakes out of Ireland. They came to America and became lawyers. I love it.
That's fun stuff.
Okay, so let's see. Oxalis is a shamrock.
Oxalis. Which is...
That's from Paul with Blue
Okay,
Blue Sky.
Okay, but oxalis is taking a step further. Garden Line, oxalis is technically a broadleaf weed.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe shamrocks are a weed, but don't tell my grandmother that, please.
No, a weed, by definition, is simply a plant in the wrong place.
Well, now that would describe a few Irish people, yes.
There you go. How about that? What fun.
Yes. What so fun. We've got lots to talk about, though, with the garden line. So forgive me for bringing up St. Patty's Day, but I can't help it.
Well, I just wish we had this on television this morning to see Meg. She just looks so good.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Well, great.
It's a special day to me.
Well, you gave me special some bees. Day. I've got my green
well,
you bees.
Well, he didn't have any green on. I
forgot.
And see, I know, but the thing is that the legend is that if you don't have your green on, the leprechauns are going to find you, Mike, and they're going to pinch you in your arse. And it doesn't feel good when a leprechaun pinches your arse.
Well, they don't have a chance. So I've got my, you're okay now. My beads on.
Even if you have just a touch of green, put a little touch of green. That's enough. Keep you safe.
Very good. Hey, this is one of those, who knew?
I know.
Who knew? This is so much fun.
Well, I don't really do anything halfway, so. Oh,
why would you? You know, the old saying, anything worth doing is worth overdoing.
I mean, if you're going to jump in, you're going to jump in all the way.
Go all the way. Absolutely. Absolutely. What you want to talk about this morning?
Well, I want to talk about, I feel so bad for our gardeners. I was thinking about all y'all this weekend when I heard it was going to be 35 this morning. And I thought, oh, no, all these people that have been planting and doing, let's talk about that. Is it going to affect everything that's been done as far as the pre-emergence and all the things people have done to get ready?
It'll affect that. But I get kind of different reports because it's close.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw one report tonight, we go to 35. The News Journal this morning had this a freeze warning that we might. So it's close. Watch it very, very closely today and see what the forecast is, because if it should dip, 32 or below, it could damage some things, but it's going to be quick. You know, we always talk on the garden lawn when these freezes come and it freezes and then we move on very quickly. It probably is not going to have any effect. But watch it close because you never know. They can revise the forecast, and if we should get, into the low 30s, my goodness, then it's a new ball game.
Okay, well, we're going to come back and talk about some things that you can do to get ready just in case. And I know he's brought in his notebook. He's got a whole list of things to talk about. Our host, Mr. Mike Wiggins with the Garden Line, will be back in just a few minutes. Already have some questions rolling in, Mike, on the text line. And if you have a question or a comment about your gardening today, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. We'll be back in a minute. Good morning to you. Happy St. Patrick's Day. This is the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. I'm Meg at Pep Talk. If you've got a gardening question, you can text it in at 850-437-1620.
Very, very good. Meg, kind of jumping into the weather again, you and I talked about this in the last couple of weeks about, is it going to get cold again? Well, it did. But I feel bad for the spring breakers.
I know
a lot of spring breaks are over, but there's still some that are coming to Pensacola, getting ready to lay out in the sun and swim in the Gulf. And it ain't going to happen. It is cold. Anyway, so I know what they're doing. They're sitting in the hotel room having a cup of coffee, listening to the Garden Line. And we will say, welcome to Pensacola. We wish it was warmer for you. Just stick around, because it will.
Just trust me, having worked at the visitor center all those years, with the kids from Michigan and Wisconsin think this is warm.
I guess that's true.
Running around in shorts and happy as can be. Trust me.
Well, we're going to be back in the 70s by the end of the week, so that's good.
Okay, we got a bunch of texts coming in.
This is a good one
before we get off the Irish topic. Good morning and a very happy St. Patrick's Day to you all. We've had these shamrocks for years. I've found they like shade in the summer, and we always protect them with a frost cloth in the winter. You should see. There's a picture of a huge thing of shamrocks.
How big is it? I'm going to come over and look at that.
It's beautiful. It's big. So thank you for sending that in.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's very cool. And then we also have a reminder about the big event coming up tonight. Let me see if I can find that one. Let's see. Hang on a second. This is funny because it says, good morning, Mary and Mike. Close. Okay. It says, I was at the garden center yesterday setting up my table, and I'm so impressed with the creativity of our members in carrying out the theme, Everyday Celebrations, Design on a Dime. So we all try to decorate our tables with items we already have, thus on the dime theme. The Tour of Tables preview is at the Garden Center tonight, and that's at 1850 North 9th Avenue from 5 to 7 o'clock. The tickets are only $10, and they're available at the door, and includes a vote for your favorite table, appetizers, and drinks.
Very nice.
So that's a fun thing to do.
That's an annual event.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, and they are very successful. They work very hard, and supposed to be great.
Yeah, yeah. So go have fun. Yeah, if you decide you don't want to partake of all the craziness, that might be a little more quiet event to attend.
Exactly. Yeah, a little more subdued.
There you go.
But that's okay. That's okay.
Okay, let's see. Now, I've got one about gardenias here, Mike. My gardenia leaves are yellowing. What do you think is happening? I don't recall them yellowing like this last year. And I had this side note. Also, I noticed that my cat has been doing their business around them. Could that be the problem?
I don't think I'm going to blame the cat.
Yeah.
No. Gardenias sometimes need, pardon me, need iron.
Oh.
Because they like an acid soil. They're like an azalea, a camellia. They like an acid soil. And that iron sometimes will help a problem called chlorosis, which is an absence of iron in some place. Happens in turf also. However, for gardenias, and this is going to be very scientific, sometimes they just do that. They'll get yellow leaves.
Mm-hmm.
Those will eventually be gone, and you'll be in good shape. So I really wouldn't worry too much about that. But if you do have some liquid iron or even some, say, azalea and camellia fertilizer around, give them a little shot of that.
Okay.
And I think you're going to be okay. Gardenias sometimes can be tricky. They can, about those yellow leaves. But as I say, sometimes nothing you can do about it. It just happens. But it doesn't mean the plant is in big trouble.
I love this aroma of gardenias. Do they bloom year-round or just
seasonally? No. Seasonally, yeah. No,
springtime or?
Yes.
In the spring? Okay.
Absolutely. And but no, they smell great.
Yeah.
No question about it. A great Pensacola plant, but like I say, it falls into that same category of acid-loving plant.
Mm-hmm.
So what you don't want to do is try to correct the problem by putting lime on it. That's going in the opposite direction.
Okay,
We don't want to do that.
Okay, thank you so much for sending that
in. Thank you.
This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Got lots of questions rolling in today. Is Epsom salt good for ferns, and how do you apply it?
Epsom salts is good for ferns. It'll help green them up.
Oh, okay.
No question about it. You can buy Epsom salts granular, and if the fern is, say, in a big pot or a hanging basket, just a tight handful, maybe sprinkled in there, watered in real good, and yes, it's good. I think some people use Epsom salts on tomato plants.
Really?
I've heard that, yes.
Huh.
But, it's on ferns, it really will help green them up.
See, I'd be afraid of using too much salt.
Well, you got to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to load it up, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So be gentle. Don't use that much. But, not a bad idea.
Okay, good. All right, lots of questions rolling in. 850-437-1620. This is the Garden Line on St. Patrick's Day. Got another one for you, Mike. We have a blueberry tree that is blooming. Should we cut back the limbs that don't flower to help the limbs that are flowering? That's from Clint.
No, I really would not do that. At this point,
mm-hmm.
I think I would just let the blueberries do their thing. I wouldn't do any pruning on it. And really, that goes for a lot of our plants that we just don't want to get too fast here in March, mm-hmm. and start cutting them back.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, you can clean that blueberry bush up, but I think I would wait for a month or so before I did that and get some of the dead branches, the crossing branches, kind of clean them up if you want to. But I don't think I'd do it now. I wouldn't. On the blueberries, no, I wouldn't do any pruning right now.
Okay, great question that just came in. So thanks for sending that in. Got more questions coming in and a couple of comments here. Let's see. On Epsom salts, David's asking, how much is too much?
That's a good question. I think I would, let's put it this way. Let's, once again, be scientific about it. Let's salt and pepper it,
mm-hmm.
The granular Epsom salts on your plant. Just kind of, I'm making a gesture.
You
can't see. I'm showing you how.
He's sprinkling it like you would in a stew.
There you go.
An Irish stew.
Hey.
Hey, what?
Hey. That's why you're the expert.
Oh, you know you
yeah.
are.
There you go. But yeah, no, you don't want to overdo it. But yeah, just kind of sprinkle it on there and water it in. Watering in is crucial.
Okay, yes. Very good. Keep those questions coming. It's 850-437-1620. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk. We'll be back right after the break. Welcome back to the Garden Line on Pep Talk. Happy St. Patrick's Day. You had an article you saw this week,
well,
Mike.
Yes. Yeah, we've got some questions to answer on.
And we'll get to them.
Text. We can do that right after the break. But Catherine pointed out this article to me about there's several areas in Pensacola, in the Pensacola area, that have strawberry farms that are open for spring. They're you pick 'em strawberry farms.
I love that.
Oh, I'm telling you. She gave me a name of a couple of them. The Strawberry Farm, that's a good name.
Uh-huh. How do you spell that? I was like, did you say Veeps or Veebs or?
The Strawberry Farm.
Okay.
This is St. Patrick's Day, isn't it? Uh-huh. Okay. All right, here we are. They are up from northern part of the county.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there since 2017. This is what I found interesting. They have hand-planted 80,000 strawberries.
What?
In rows on this 10-acre farm.
Wow.
And they do it kind of in small batches. So they are open, but then they're not open. They
mm-hmm.
close,
mm-hmm.
and then they're open again. Then they close because of how the strawberries are ripening, and they've got them in different batches there.
Wow.
So it's a kind of a sporadic schedule, but kind of get on Facebook and or give them a call called the Strawberry Farm, and they will tell you if they're open. A great exercise for families and grandchildren and that type of thing. There's another one in Baker called Sweet Southern Farms. They have got 70,000 plants they have planted. And this one, I love the name of this one. How about up in Pace? Annie Pearl's Strawberry Patch.
Oh, cool. I like that.
That's kind of fun, too. But in any event, they're going to be, like I say, you need to check before you go up there to see if they're open. All of these, I think, kind of open and close as mm-hmm. as the strawberries are ready. So, also, of course, we have to mention some of the other places where one can go for strawberries. The farm,
uh-huh.
which is not a farm. It's a place where local produce and meats and fields. But, of course, our friends at Bailey's, they have them, of course. And they're going to host the first Strawberry Day celebration this year, noon to 3, March 21st.
Would that be this weekend? Yeah.
It sounds like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Offering food, live music, a lot of strawberries. And you can buy strawberries or you can buy strawberry plants.
That'll be this Saturday.
Take home and plant.
That's the Saturday.
Absolutely. They say, here's what they say, strawberry season is one of the sweetest parts of spring. We're looking forward to celebrating it with you. That's Bailey's on North Davis.
Excellent.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And Paul just texted in, wild strawberry is a Florida native and makes an excellent ground cover. How about that?
How about that?
Yeah. And he says the Native Plant Company also sells them.
We're very good.
Good deal. Okay.
Good deal. Thanks, Paul.
All right. This is the Garden Line on Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. We'll be back after the news. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg, and the Garden Line with Mike.
We got off topic a little bit.
We always
breaks
do. I know.
talking about the Oscars.
Yeah, and Robert Redford. Okay, so getting back to the gardening, we have lots of questions that have come in. So this one says, Mike, two questions, please. First is that I have ants that have taken over my blueberry root bed. Should I apply poison? And then the second question is, which orange tree grows well here? Thank you. I'm sorry I don't have the name, but thanks for sending that in.
Oh, no, thank you very much. Insofar as the ants around the blueberries, a little insecticide won't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Just be sure you don't use something that is systemic. Systemic insecticides work through the plant system. You don't want that on anything edible, like citrus. You don't want to use anything systemic, but a spectracide type granular kind of sprinkled around might help the ants. Controlling ants is a whole different topic. It's very difficult to do here in Pensacola. But yeah, a little insecticide granular around that should not hurt the blueberry at all. Just be careful you don't overdo.
Mm-hmm.
Now on the citrus, once again, that's a great topic that we need, you know, that everybody needs to decide what they want to do. We're in zone 8, and some people say zone 9, but anyway, it's close. And so you have to find citrus that's going to do well here.
What does zone 8 mean for those who don't know like
the,
me?
The Department of Agriculture has the entire country separated into different zones.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. And we're zone 8, which is, and if you go a little further south, you go zone 9, go 10, a little further north, you go zone 7, 6, 5. It depends on where you live. And many times when you look for different plants that may be susceptible to cold or may really put up with the cold, you can look and see which zones they'd grow well in. And but we are in zone 8, kind of on the borderline with 9, and so those are the plants that we want to plant here. Once again, azaleas, camellias, gardenias, and all that, you know, are great in zone 8. But citrus is interesting. You can go, I'm just going to real quick go through this.
Sure, yeah.
This is a big topic here. If you're going to grow lemons, Meyer lemon is one of the best. If you're going to grow limes, key lime, satsumas are relatively cold tolerant. Awari, Armstrong, Early, Browns, Select, those are good satsuma. Tangerines are able to take light freezes and cold temperatures. Clementine, Dancy, Pocan, those are good tangerines. Kumquats really are not, will take it all the way down to even 20 degrees.
Really?
And you won't have any problem there. But on oranges, Hamlin oranges are a good one to look
for. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah. They're kind of like Washington, Summerfield, Dream. These are some of the names.
Are any of those the navel oranges that we see in the grocery store?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like the Hamlins?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No question. So those are some of the citrus that will do well. Now, probably what, I'm sure you didn't take notes on that, those names. So I would go to someone like Larry out at Pensacola Seed and Garden and I'd say, what you got? You know, what kind of citrus do you have? Also, the good question to ask is, what type of root stock is that citrus grafted to? Is it a root stock that is going to help that plant, that citrus, in cold weather? And is it going to help it thrive, quite frankly? So trifoliate orange is the name. I know we don't really relate to that too much, but that's a rootstock, which kind of imparts cold resistance on citrus. So that's, in a nutshell, that is some of the citrus that does well in our zone.
Here. Well, it's interesting because I have a neighbor who has a lot of citrus, but they have a grapefruit tree, so which does really, really well.
Absolutely.
And they have the orange, but their lime is in a big pot rather than the ground.
A lot of people do that.
Is there a reason for that?
No, I don't think there's a reason. You can put it in the ground just to
say. Oh, you can? Because I don't think I've ever seen a lime tree in the ground.
But you would want to protect it.
Oh.
You know, if it was in the ground, it's in a pot or in a container, you can move it.
I see.
Because that lime tree is susceptible to cold.
Okay. More so than oranges are about the same?
I think some of the oranges are going to be more resistant than probably a lime tree. So you've got to be careful.
Okay. So that's really great question to send in. So thanks for sending that in. Let's see what else we've got here. Those two questions and then the blueberry tree. I think we've got them all right now. So if you have a question for Mike at the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. We'd love to hear from you this morning.
Absolutely. What we might want to do, Meg, before we take our next break, is to go back to the cold weather.
Yes.
If you get a chance, I know so many people are on their way to work and you probably don't have a chance, a good idea would be to water the lawn today.
Really? Even though it's cold now?
Before the cold. Yeah, I know. It's not
40s now.
Yes, you're fine. Water the yard today. But if you don't get to it today, after the freeze, after we're out of these 30s, water the lawn. We really still not have had that much rain. And so following a cold snap like we've had tonight and probably tomorrow night, watering the yard is the thing to do. And your plants also, no question about it, especially any container plants you've got out there, simply because they're going to be affected more by the cold because their entire root system is exposed to the cold being in a container. So get some water out there on it. And as we move forward here in March into April, we need to get back on a watering schedule.
Right.
One, because we are a little bit short of water, but it's going to get warmer, and so we really need to kind of get our schedule, our basic schedule we like on the Garden Line, three times a week, 30 minutes a zone.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep it like that.
Okay.
And if it rains, cut it off. If it doesn't, be sure you do it.
Okay, I've got a question from one of our listeners, and if you've got a question or comment, 850-437-1620. With the weather being almost freezing, should I still cover my plants?
Well, that's a great question because it's so close.
Mm-hmm.
It is so close. One, it depends on where you live.
True.
If you live in Milton, I'd cover them.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in Gulf Breeze at the beach, I think you're probably going to be okay. But, you know, we've all worked so hard over the last couple of seasons getting some of these great plants to thrive. You hate to take a chance.
Mm-hmm.
You hate to take a chance. You know, when the weather guy comes on tomorrow and says, whoops.
Yeah, right. Well, we get so dependent, we think that that's the truth.
Right.
Well, they don't know what the temperature's going to be. They have an idea, but
that's
never
exactly
know.
Right. So if something, you know, that really is susceptible to cold weather,
mm-hmm.
you know, it wouldn't hurt to wrap it up as best you can. I think we're going to be okay. Considering what the weather people are saying, it doesn't look like we're going below 32. But like I say, better safe than sorry.
Absolutely. Well, that's a great question. I think it's on a lot of people's minds.
I wish we had an answer to it, but we don't.
It's on a lot of folks' minds right now. So then this week maybe, now it's supposed to be 70 by the weekend, but this week should they, hold back on any chemical treatments and things like that people are doing right now?
Well, exactly. Now, if we stay where we are, you know, if we're going to be in the 30s, yeah. I wouldn't do any kind of, you know, weed killing, that type of thing. Even any of the ultra-fine oil that we like to use in the spring and the fall. I wouldn't do those. But we get into the high 40s
mm-hmm.
during the day, 50s during the day, have at it. Because especially on weed control, if we're after, I don't want to kill the oxalis. That's too much like a shamrock.
You better not.
Exactly. But seriously,
at least not today.
If you've got broadleaf weeds that escaped all that pre-emergence you put on there,
mm-hmm.
Yes, you know, you will need to spray them. But you don't want to do that when temperatures, in my opinion, are in the 30s, the 40s, or for that matter, in the high 80s and 90s.
Right.
So you've got this window, you know, really coming up in April
mm-hmm.
when you can really go at those broadleaf weeds. Dollarweed is a great example that have cropped up. And Trimec, of course, is one of our favorite broadleaf weed killers. But remember last week we talked about integrated pest management.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't want to spray the whole yard with a Trimec. Just get you a pump-up sprayer. Or you can buy the weed killers with a wand on it that you can isolate and just spray where the weeds are.
Okay, great advice that you can always find here on the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. This is Pep Talk, 850-437-1620. Still time for your questions or comments. Just text it on in. This is Pep Talk and the Garden Line. We'll be back after the break. Top of the morning to you. It's St. Patty's Day, and it's the Garden Line, which is very green, in my opinion. We've got Mike Wiggins here answering your questions.
Well, we love all our Texas, of course.
They've been great.
But we love the one of the shamrock.
Yes, that's, you know, so neat. Yeah, the picture
was
beautiful.
Cool. And the folks that are growing that shamrock say, here's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
During the summer, they keep it in the shade. Like a lot of our tropical plants.
Right.
In the winter, they cover theirs with a frost cloth, but I assume if it's not in too big a pot, you could bring it inside
sure.
and protect it. So they can grow here.
Yes, absolutely.
They certainly can grow here. So if you, you know, at your local garden center, I think it would take a local garden center to have it, Larry out at Pensacola Seed and Garden,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even call the extension service and say, where can I get, you know, a shamrock,
yeah.
you know, say a little 4-inch, 6-inch pot
yep.
that I can put into a bigger pot
mm-hmm.
and cultivate it and enjoy it. And then, of course, go talk to it on St. Patrick's Day.
It will absolutely bring you good luck. I can guarantee it.
if Meg says so, it's true.
Okay, moving on. We have a question from Sarah. She says, whoops, I did not cut back my roses on Valentine's Day. Should I leave them alone now, or some plants already have blooms, or is it okay to cut them back?
No,
what should
it's okay. You could go ahead and do it now if you
mm-hmm.
wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you about roses.
Yes.
You go ahead. I don't think you'll do any damage if you go ahead and cut it now, especially with this cool weather. You know, that should have slowed things down a bit. The knockout roses
Oh, they're so pretty.
Are unbelievable. I mean, here it is. It's been cold, windy, even a little rainy. The wind has just been amazing. But the knockout roses are looking wonderful, mm-hmm. just blooming their little hearts out right now. It's a great plant. We've talked about roses a lot. We had almost a whole show on roses. And if you're going to plant your tea roses and grandifloras and floribundas, that is great. That is, they're beautiful. But you've got to have at least one good knockout rose in your yard because it just blooms and blooms and blooms. And, of course, the red one. They're different colors, but the red one is the standard one. That's the one I would grow.
They really are, I have to say, probably my favorite. I mean, I love all flowers, but I'll tell you, something about the rose, it's so simple and elegant and beautiful.
There's no question. And the knockout rose, you know, is not going to have that same type of bloom.
Like a tulipy-looking, it's more open, right?
Exactly, exactly. But still, I mean, you can sit on your patio and look in your yard, and, you know, everything right now is just ugly. But that knockout rose is over in the corner, mm-hmm. just blooming away. Mm-hmm. So I certainly would recommend that, especially if you're right now, if you're going out into your yard, it's a little depressing.
Well,
with some
yeah.
of the plants. I mean, every time I see my lantana, I just say, come on. I know it's going to come back. It always does. But right now, it's just a bundle of sticks.
Oh, I know.
Exactly.
Well, I have a question I've never asked you before. What is your favorite plant or flower? Do you have a favorite after all these years of doing what you do?
Well, I am a big fan of some of the tropical plants for the summer.
Uh-huh.
I love the hibiscus.
Oh, they're so pretty. Yeah.
One of my all-time favorites is the mandevilla.
Mm-hmm.
Every year I plant a white one. Now, some people would say, oh, Mike, you might have cut the one back. That's, you know, no, I just let it go, mm-hmm. you know, tell it goodbye, and plant a new one.
Really, every year?
Every year. It's on a trellis. I put it in a pot
uh-huh.
and put the trellis behind the pot, and it fills that trellis with these huge white blooms.
When do you usually do that?
As soon as the chance of a freeze is over.
Okay.
And really, to be honest with you, when Bailey's.
Has them.
Bailey's has them, absolutely. I really like crotons.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But if you want to talk about one of my favorite plants ever, it's the caladiums. Remember, we've talked about that, about ordering them online from Jack down in Caladiums, Florida. He has a great website with different pictures of caladiums. You plant them in mid-April,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll probably be all up by June 1st.
And what does it look like?
Well, it depends. It depends. They're all different kinds.
Oh.
Different colors. You've got whites, you've got reds, you've got pinks, all different colors.
Oh, wow.
And even there's something called strap caladiums, which are kind of a long, elongated caladium leaf.
Uh-huh.
But if you go to that website and look at that, it's just absolutely amazing. And you can't help but ordering a few at least.
Okay.
And I always tell people, if you're going to order, plant them in your yard,
mm-hmm.
plant the number one grade. Don't go with 1.5. It's too small. Go number one. If you really want to be adventurous and spend a little money, buy the jumbos.
Oh.
You can plant one jumbo bulb in, a 14-inch pot. It'll fill it up by summer.
No kidding.
This is great. Anyway, so you asked me what my favorite
was. Yeah.
I love the clay, but I do love in the summer in my backyard mm-hmm. having a lot of those tropical plants, which will just bloom and bloom and bloom.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, you heard it here on the Garden Line from our expert.
Sorry you asked.
No, I've heard you talk about so many different varieties, and I just love hearing the ones that you love personally.
There you go.
Because you've been in this business a long time, yeah?
Long, long time. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. This is the Garden Line. All you got to do is text in your question or comment at 850-437-1620. We will be back in just a couple minutes. Welcome back to Pep Talk in the Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. Got a couple of minutes left, so Mike, we're going to hit these questions real fast. Those knockout roses look so ragged when the blooms start dying. Do you deadhead yours?
No, I think that's one of the beauties of knockout roses is you do not have to deadhead them. A lot of the experts call that self-cleaning from the knockout roses. They do look a little ragged,
mm-hmm.
but they will eventually drop off and, as I say, kind of clean up themselves. So, no, I would not worry about deadheading them.
Well, maybe I should get some of those.
Everybody, everybody needs one.
Okay.
It's like, remember we talked about tomato plants?
Yes.
Everybody needs to plant One.
Okay.
That's right.
It's a deal. Okay, this is kind of neat. One of our listeners sent in a photo. It's a magnolia that looks like a Christmas tree. And sure enough, I opened up the photo, and it's shaped like a Christmas tree.
Really? I guess they pruned it that way.
I don't know. How does that happen?
Well, let me tell you what, though. It may be, we're almost at the end of the show, so I can't run around the studio and look at the picture. I wish I could.
It's the shape. It's the shape of a tree.
Well, keep in mind now, it's not news. When I say new, it's probably 30 years old. A type of magnolia called Little Jim.
Oh.
Now, we all know our great southern magnolia is called Magnolia grandifolia. Mm-hmm. Grandifolia. That's a beautiful name for our southern magnolia. But this is a Magnolia Little Jim, which grows a little more upright. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have those real spreading limbs out. And a lot of people will use that when they just don't have the room for that magnolia to mature and get as big as it's going to get.
Right.
The Little Jim kind of grows more straight up. Maybe that's what we have here.
It might be. But from the way you're describing it, that's what it looks like.
Yes, that may be it, because that's some what a lot of people plant when they just don't have the room to plant that big magnolia. But yet they want magnolia with the big, pretty white blooms mm-hmm. on them. So anyway, that's a magnolia story. Just a couple of things. Just a couple. Before we go, we've got to say it. There are a lot of weeds out there.
Mm.
Hold off while it's just cold weather. You can probably do some this weekend. I would think if you had to do some weed killing. But the oak trees are just defoliating. All the leaves are there. And a lot of people always ask, should I rake them? If you have a live oak, which we all know has that cupped leaf,
mm-hmm.
The live oak, when it rains or when you water, if that cupped leaf is sitting in your yard and you haven't raked it, sometimes the cupped leaf will hold water.
Oh, wow.
And believe it or not, if you've got standing water in your yard, you know what that brings on? Mosquitoes.
Oh.
Now, that's kind of a reach, but some of the experts are saying go ahead and get those leaves off of your yard once they stack up. And the oak tree leaves, unbelievable.
Yes.
There's so many of them.
There are.
So have at it. And thanks for listening to us today. And happy St. Patrick's Day. 10 o'clock. Meg is going to be on the radio. She will continue to be on the radio, but she's going to talk St. Patrick's Day, too.
Tell you all about my Irish interest.
10 o'clock. Don't miss it.
You're so funny. This is The Garden Line, and you can hear it again on Saturdays right here on News Radio 92.3.